This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Cabrera, the podcast and coach here, helping people to launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And one of the things you have to learn as a business owner is how to become a leader. And part of being a leader is not just leading yourself if you're a solopreneur, but also leading others and helping them become better individuals. And that will help your business because you'll have more high performers working for your business. So we're going to talk about some of the secrets we can utilize to become a centered leader who inspires others. So our guest who joins us today, she is one of Australia's leading experts on leadership, and she specializes in the people stuff, the stuff that gets in our way of producing results and the stuff that lightens us up. Our guest is also the author of 3 books with her 4th book, People Stuff, The Power of Perspective for Better Leadership, due out in 2020. So our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Zoe Roth. Zoe, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's so great to be here. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Zoe, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. And I feel like with leadership, it's one of those things where people may think of it more as the position and less of the qualities that produce a good leader. And I know since you lead in this field, you could definitely help a lot of people have the right mindset when it comes to leadership. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what made you focus on leadership. Why is this such an important area for you?
I think all my life, I've been focused on people and people in the wilderness context is sort of how I got started. So I led canoe trips in Canada. And from that very early time, when I was leading younger people who were just a year or two younger than me, I worked out that leadership is critical in any context, whether you're sitting around the fire having a chat or whether you're going through a room or you're having a difficult conversation. The ability to show up and be present and to help other people feel comfortable and safe in your presence, no matter how crazy the situation, is one of the core elements that's required to be effective, to help guide a group of people to whatever outcome or a goal that they want to get involved with. So that's sort of how I started getting involved in leadership, was way back when I was, you know, leading canoe trips across the wilds of Canada.
And I mean, in that kind of an example, it's not necessarily a business context, but it is a context where we all have the opportunity to lead in some capacity. And if we lead in the smaller spots, it's going to be easier for us to deliver on the bigger spots. And I feel like leadership, the mentality is all the same, regardless of if it's a small thing or a big thing, you have to have that mentality. So based on what you've done with your work, what would you say are some of the secrets that these good leaders have that other leaders may be lacking?
I'd say the first thing is connection is currency in leadership. So how we show up, how we engage with others, how we help others to feel safe and secure and valued and welcome and wanted is the critical piece that helps build team engagement and then therefore how a team can then produce results. So I think that that's one of the key differentiator between leaders who just smash it out of the ballpark and people love to follow them and those who don't, because those who don't connect. They dictate rather than engage. And that's sort of the number one secret I'd start with.
And I definitely love that connection piece. I mean, I do a lot of interviews for all my podcasts, all my virtual summits. It's one of my favorite ways to get to meet new people. I mean, I'm in New York right now. Zoe's in Australia, and it's amazing we're even able to have this conversation. So connection to me is something highly valuable as well. I'm wondering if you could share with us, how can we as leaders get better at connecting and get better at connecting with more people?
Look, it comes down to just being curious as a starting point and actually being interested in what people have to say and where they're coming from. I was speaking to a good friend of mine today and I asked her, you know, what surprises you about people? And she said, the fact that people are surprising surprises her. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, everybody has a story. And you don't know when somebody rocks up in front of you, what's below the surface. You don't know what's been on their journey and what kinds of experiences they've had. And so I think as a starting point for building connection is being curious about that. So we're meeting for the first time through video and audio. And I'm so curious about your background and your life and what you want to aspire to. And I think having that quality of curiosity and wanting to understand where somebody's coming from and where they're going and what's important to them is the starting point for great connection. So once you have the curiosity, then you go into questions, you know, asking people about themselves rather than trying to tell people what you think, always being curious about other people's perspective. And that's why perspective is such a key part of my next book. And I think that really is the door opener for so many powerful things in leadership. So perspective, curiosity, and questions would be a good starting point.
And I find it interesting, like you say, like, be interested in what people have to say. And that sounds really simple, but it's not always easy to do because I feel like a lot of people are in a rush to, you know, say their thing. And then instead of having a conversation, you just have a string of monologues that may look like a conversation, but you know they're monologues. No one's really listening to each other. Everyone's talking something different. So how can we get better at truly listening to people and being engaged in what their work is?
Yeah, I think you point out a really big problem, and I see it a lot in politics in both Australia and the US, that sort of polarized conversations where it's all about pushing your own wheelbarrow and making sure that your point gets heard, but it doesn't really get heard. And they say people want to be listened to, but really they want to be heard. And as leaders, if we find ourselves thinking that, hey, I'm right about this, and we get really caught up in trying to jam our perspective on the table, then that's the moment of self-awareness where we need to say, hang on a minute. I'm probably missing something. In fact, there's a great expression that says, every time you think you're right, you're probably wrong. And I have a friend who has this little card he wears in his pocket that reminds himself, and it's a quote, I can't remember who it's from, but he says, no, just remember, you might be wrong. I think that is a really good circuit breaker for us not wanting to go into these, as you say, you know, these double monologues where I'm talking and then you're talking and we're just kind of, you know, like ships passing the night, or butting heads. You know, butting heads isn't very useful in connection or in conversation either. So hang on a minute. If you think that you're right, possibly you're wrong, and go, okay, be curious about your own perspective and what the gaps are and what could somebody else offer you in terms of insight around a particular issue. And I think if we did that, like, we'd have less of the polarization we have in politics and in relationships and in around the boardroom or in our teams. And just getting curious about where people are coming from is really useful.
And I definitely agree with that, because sometimes people are just so focused on their message that they don't really care about what the other person's message is, which does not lead to meaningful conversation. And one of the things, I love what you said earlier, it was like, remember, you might be wrong. And I feel like part of that leader mentality is to acknowledge you're at the top of the food chain and not make yourself look bad. And in that case, it means trying to maintain this image of being a perfect person. And you and I know, you know, you can't be perfect, but there are people who are really stuck on that concept. So how do you recommend we just embrace that we're imperfect, be able to take responsibility for mistakes and do things like that?
It's a really big shift in leadership maturity to realizing that leadership is not just authority. Like, leadership is authority when it has a title, but when you exercise leadership, it's not just about telling others what to do. It's really, and you spoke to it, you know, I think when leaders think they have the answers, they're headed for a fall. And it's interesting because I think in our culture, in both American and Australian culture, we're taught that leaders are the ones out the front. They're the ones who say, follow me. They're the ones that have the vision. They're the ones that have the answers. And it's a false premise, and it doesn't work in today's society. It doesn't work in today's context, because things are changing so fast that no one is as smart as all of us. And the smart leader will know that. To think that they have all the answers is just riding for a massive fall. And so the effective leader will want to leverage all the people in their area, in their arena, on their team, to get as much insight as possible into what's going on, so they can collectively develop the best way forward. So a leader becomes less of a dictator, less of a delegator, and more of a facilitator. Facilitating the group wisdom and gaining that collective wisdom is the key attribute for moving forward.
We have more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from today's sponsor, Jobber. Jobber's award-winning software helps small home service businesses organize their entire operations, from scheduling jobs and managing their crews to invoicing customers and collecting payments. That way, you can spend more time on the services you're already great at. Job by job, business by business, Jobber is transforming the ways their customers deliver service. Start your free trial over at getjobber.com/breakthrough. All right, let's get right back into the episode.
That's a really great point about the facilitation, because then you get different members of your organization to shine. And listening to this right now, if you're someone who maybe you're a solopreneur, you just have one or two people, this still applies to you. Because when you connect with people, that's going to be the facilitation piece. And I go to a podcast mastermind. We meet twice a year. Now, I know a lot about podcasting. I've done 600 interviews, I want to say, across all my stuff together. But every time I go to that mastermind, I learn so many new things that I did not know before, or I'm told to do stuff that I know that I have to do, but I'm not doing. And then I finally go ahead and do it because of that mastermind. So no matter how much you think you know, really being able to surround yourself with a core group of people who can help you like learn more things and take more action can really help you with your business. So I'm wondering, how do leaders, it seems like every leader surrounds themselves with that kind of core. So how can we surround ourselves with people who are going to up-level us?
Oh, what a beautiful question. I think looking for the people who have got results that you want to aspire to. So that's sort of seeking the next level. Who is in your hemisphere that has got amazing results that you want to emulate and learn from? And I love the fact that you speak to this accountability piece in the structure of a group network, especially if you are a solo entrepreneur and there's only you and a couple people that you've roped in to help you deliver on this project. Thinking that you have to find up all the answers yourself is horrendous. So what I find, how I do this, is I'm always seeking out people who are going next level, what I perceive as next level. There's always people who are higher above you in terms of their results, their positioning, their reach, all that kind of stuff. And if you pick up one or two things from those people, whether you listen to them on YouTube videos or take a course with them or listen to their podcast like I listen to yours, then you can always get something. And it's just those incremental things that can help level you up. And I think there's two ways to look at leveling up. One is like giant step, where you go, let's go 10x, and then you work like crazy to figure out how you can do 10x your results. Or, you can do 1% improvements. And I think both, you can't help but grow and expand. And I think you have to, they take totally different attitudes and mindsets, and yet you can do them in parallel. I think you can aspire to the 10x and then do the little bits and pieces along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very weird thing that Zoe's bringing up, but it definitely makes sense, because I feel like a lot of people think 10x or 1% growth every day, but the two do kind of connect, and you can make arguments for each one, with 10x giving you this massive vision, while 1% every day gives you some kind of measurement and puts each day in focus. So I've definitely heard of both of those concepts, just never explained in that way. And for leadership, you definitely have to be thinking big, because there are people who, especially if you're a business owner, they depend on you. If you give someone like a weekly wage, or you pay someone for their services, they're in part depending on you for food on the table. So you have to be able to keep growing in order to help the people who are also helping you.
Oh, I agree with that. So there is so much responsibility in running your own business and keeping the mouths fed, as you like. But it's not only the people who depend on you for your livelihood. It's also the people who follow you and have and learn from you. There's a responsibility there. And I find, as a leadership expert, it's really important to keep growing, expanding myself to continue to be of service. And so that constant hunger for learning, I think, is another attribute that's really useful in business leadership as well as personal growth. Sure. And not everybody has that. Some people get stuck at a level and they just sort of plateau there. And that's good for a while, but those are the ones who get upended and disrupted in the end.
Yeah, that continuous learning piece is very important. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm interviewing around 100 people each month. So that's a lot.
My goodness, that's enormous.
It's a lot. But it's something that I enjoy doing. And I mean, hearing from people like Zoe, and it is a big part of my business, it makes sense for me to interview that many people. And that's why I don't necessarily, I used to read a book like a day. There was a stretch where I did that for a whole month. But to me, interviewing people makes more sense just because of the relationship building that's also happening. So for anyone who's thinking of like, oh, like I want to learn, what's the best way to learn? I really recommend interviewing people. Because I feel like that's how you not just learn, but you relationships.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's something really joyful in hearing people's stories and their insights. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, let's switch it.
So, you know, if you're interviewing like 100 people a month, that's an enormous amount of people. What have you discovered is the most surprising thing about people?
Wow. I would say that it's surprising how a lot of people, they have different walks of life, but they kind of have like, a lot of people are the same in the sense where I feel like you have the same super basic ambitions. Like you want to accumulate revenue. You want to be there for the people who you want to be there for. So I feel like even though people have a lot of different paths and different careers, we all have very similar things that mean very much to us. And I just feel like there's a lot more similarities between all of us, even though we could all be very, very different, like a lawyer versus a doctor, or like a creative versus like a corporate employee. There's like so many different walks of life, but all similar paths at the end.
And have you had your perspective changed in any of the interviews that you've done? Like somebody said something or told a story and you went, whoa, I see the world differently now.
Wow. I love this flip, but, there's a few things that
I won't ask anymore.
No, I love this flip, but I mean, like there was someone recently who came on Ditch the Job, my other show, and he talked about volunteering, and that kind of reawakened like, hey, like volunteering is like really good to do for the other person. It renews you. It gives you a lot more motivation to do the work you do. If you know, the work you do is helping people. So that's just one of the many ways that I've changed because of all these interviews I've done.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's really cool. I love that. I love that, how that's a story of connection. You know, that's what volunteering is, has opened up your heart. And I mean, you're a busy guy. You've got a bunch of massive projects. To find space for volunteering is quite enormous.
Yeah. I mean, I find a little bit here and there, but I do feel like with volunteering or with anything, it's definitely just a matter of prioritization. And I feel like there are people who will say, I don't have the time to do this. But if you look at your schedule, like maybe there's Netflix in there, maybe there's YouTube in there, maybe there's all these different things that don't really add up. And when it comes to a leader, like you have to prioritize different things. And sometimes you end up focusing on things that aren't necessarily as important. So I'm wondering if we could flip this around one more time. You could share with us, how can we as leaders get better at prioritizing what's important and not get distracted by fake priorities?
Fake priorities, distracting priorities. Yeah, great. So I just ran a retreat for a group of leaders up in the mountains, and we did a couple of exercises around this. And there's a couple of different activities you can do for yourself. And I love this one. It's a creative one, where you write a letter from your 80-year-old self to your current self saying, and you're channeling your 80-year-old self, say, what advice do you give to me now about this year or decade ahead? And so you access your wiser, older self who gives specific advice about what really matters now. So that's one little creative exercise. Another one is basically what I do is I have them draw two pyramids or two triangles. One is a triangle which is got the peak at the top, and then there's an inverse triangle right next to it. And the first one is you kind of allocate it to the triangle, how much time you spend all of your activities currently. So at the bottom of the triangle, you spend the most time, let's say at work. So you put work down the bottom, and then you add into your pyramid all the other things that you do across the bulk of your week, say, that are your time allocators. And then in the reverse triangle, you say, okay, what are your actual priorities? Like, where you spend the most of your time may not be your number one priority. So which ones do you look after first? And so it's kind of a diagnostic, sort of reverse engineering. Sometimes they're in parallel and sometimes they're not. And then I ask people the question, is this working for you? Is the amount of time you're spending on these things and what you're prioritizing first actually taking you towards the outcome that you want? Is it creating the life that you enjoy? Is it creating the business that you enjoy? Are there things that need to come out of the triangles? Are there things that need to be amplified in the triangles? Are things that need to be reordered in there? Because when we look at, to take a diagnostic snapshot of what we're doing right now, we can project into the future where we're going. And it's only by making decisions now that we can change our future, because the future will come no matter what, but it only comes day by day, moment by moment. So it kind of harnesses back to that. So those are the two little exercises I would suggest in terms of making sure you sharpen your priorities. And then that way you can have a look at, you know, where does volunteering, say, for example, fit in the pyramid? Am I dedicating any time to that? Is it a priority? And what do I need to bump out or adjust in the pyramid scheme to make it all come to life?
Well, I mean, those are really great exercises. I mean, the 80-year-old note to yourself is a lot of reflection in the event, because I know people of all different ages listening to this show. If you are at around that point, maybe you just write like 10 years into the future, depending on how old you are, because again, I know a lot of people, a lot of different age brackets listen to this show. So definitely really great exercises. Another great thing I'd recommend you do to sharpen your leadership is to continue to follow Zoe and her work. I know she has 3 books, which will be linked in the show notes. Her 4th book is coming out soon. Where are some other good places we can find you as well?
You can hook up with me on my website, zoerouth.com, zoerouth.com, or find me on LinkedIn. I post daily there, so I'm always sharing little nuggets and insights and book recommendations and podcast interviews there. So Zoe Routh at LinkedIn or at my website.
Well, all those links will be in the show notes for everyone who wants to continue following Zoe. Once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
This episode of the Breakthrough Success Podcast was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months. Find out more at getjobber.com/breakthrough.